The hairbrush belonged to a man called Alan Drew, who was my father's great uncle, and I brush my hair with it on most mornings. I've often wondered about Alan Drew, and after a while I started researching the family history. I've had it since I was a teenager, and I started researching the family history. I discovered that Alan was killed in the war. Since then, I've gone out to the Western Front, found his grave, the poor man. He was a fun-loving, rugby-playing, well, he was a school teacher, but he was also a musician. And he went out to the Western Front in 1915 and lasted 4 weeks, the poor fellow, just 4 weeks before he was killed in the Battle of Neuve-Chapelle. So, yeah, headed out there and found his grave about 3 years ago, which in a way was the inspiration for The Glorious Madness.
And you uncovered quite a few characters with a Northern Ireland connection.
Yeah, there's a number of characters with a Northern Irish connection, yep. I mean, obviously, one of the more charismatic ones was a gentleman called Hans Hurst, better known as Brian Desmond Hurst, who was the celebrated film director, who was born in East Belfast on Ribble Street in 1895. And he was, you know, part of that shipyard Harland and Wolff community. His father worked there. And he actually worked in the Bloomfield Linen Factory, and he was working there when he enlisted at the age of 19 in the Royal Irish Rifles, the 6th Battalion. And from there, he headed out to Gallipoli. You know, like everybody else out there, he had a nightmare of a time, but he survived. He ended up contracting chronic dysentery and malaria and jaundice, the whole shebang. He went on to become a Hollywood film director. He directed 27 films, A Christmas Carol, that one with Alistair Sim as Scrooge.
So a Merry Christmas to you anyway.
Good evening.
And a Happy New Year.
Good evening. Humbert!
His greatest hit was a film called Theirs Is the Glory, which was about the British 1st Airborne Division's attempt to capture Arnhem Bridge in 1944, so the Second World War. But he used real veterans of the battle, and you can tell when you watch it, you can see that it's clearly influenced by his own experiences of Gallipoli 30 years earlier.
Tell me about Hoppy Hardy, Captain Jocelyn Lee Hoppy Hardy.
Yeah, well, that's a tale in two halves. Jocelyn Lee Hardy, his family were, they were prominent woolen drapers in Belfast. They had a haberdashery and a hosiery shop on High Street, number 33 to 37 High Street in Belfast. And his father was from Hollywood and County Down. Hardy, he joined the Connacht Rangers in January 1914, so 8 months before the war began. And he was part of that first expeditionary force sent out to try and halt the German advance on Paris. And he was captured 2 weeks into it and taken off to a German POW camp. And the bulk of his war is then spent trying to escape from German POW camps. He had 7-8 attempts at trying in the most extraordinary circumstances. You know, with each failure, he'd end up in solitary confinement, be transferred to another even more high-security prison. But eventually he gets out. He got away. 3 days after he escaped from the German prison camp, he was actually presented to the King in London and had a, you know, medals pinned on him. He then goes back to the Western Front and he wins an MC, but he's wounded in action. In fact, he's shot in the leg. And as he plunges to the ground, he lets forth the epic words. He says, "Stop the war! I've been shot!" which is quite
a bit optimistic.
Which is very optimistic. And he had his leg removed and was fitted with a wooden prosthetic limb in its place. So that's the first half. And if you stopped it there, it's a real sort of boy's own adventure and great inspiration. But part two of his life is considerably darker. I guess he'd learnt a lot of tricks in solitary confinement in Germany, but he ended up moving to Dublin Castle during the War of Independence and became one of the most notorious British operatives based there.
Interrogating suspects, Republican suspects.
Yeah, interrogation was his forte, yeah, basically. Interrogating a lot of the well-known people like Ernie O'Malley or Kevin Barry. And also he is heavily implicated in the deaths of several leading players. And also in, if anybody who watched the Who Do You Think You Are episode with Brendan O'Carroll recently, Hoppy Hardy is named and shamed as the man who killed Brendan's grandfather. So very dark era then. And to wrap it up, he went to Norfolk in his latter years and became a farmer and joined the fascist party. So there you have it.
Wow. What a period of history encapsulated in one life.
Bless them all, bless them all, the long and the short and the tall. Bless all the sergeants and WO1s, bless all the corporals and their blinking sons, because we're saying...
Then you have Bob Hanna VC, the lumberjack from County Down. I have to say, as a Newry man, and Bob Hanna was from Kilkeel, I didn't know the story at all.
He's one of these unsung heroes. He'd actually, I mean, he was, as you say, he was from Kilkeel. He emigrated to Canada, to British Columbia when he was a young fella. I think he was 18 at the time. And then he comes back out with the 2nd Canadian Division in, I think, 1915 or 1916, back to Europe. And he won a Victoria Cross. He was at the Battle of Lens in 1917. His company were ambushed by a German machine gun, and he charged out and under heavy fire, and he basically stormed the machine gun post. He personally killed 4 of the enemy and captured the position, and you know, it was a very epic and brave moment. He came back to Kilkeel after the war. It was interesting because there's records of 3,000 people turning up in the town square to congratulate him. So he went back to Vancouver after that. And as you say, yeah, he ran a logging camp. He was a lumberjack and lived through till 1967.
You also tell the story of Jack Judge and It's a Long Way to Tipperary, which was, you know, was a marching song of the British Army, which also was a popular song of the day that sold in its millions.
Yeah, it was the marching song of the British Army, really. Yeah, Jack Judge, whose family were from County Mayo, and he was part of the Irish community that moved to, well, just in and around Birmingham, really. And he was he sang songs in the music halls, but It's a Long, Long Way to Tipperary was his hit, and it was released initially in 1912. It's said that he came over to Dublin to perform a number of times in Dublin, and it's said that he was performing there in the Queen's Theatre when a lot of the Connacht Rangers were there. They heard it, they adopted it as their song. And certainly they were heard singing it in Boulogne in August 1914 as they marched in. And within weeks, it is just being sung all across the Western Front and over the course of the war, right down into, you know, the Mesopotamia, which is Iraq and Egypt and Sinai. They're all singing it. Big hit.
History is your business, Turtle. That's what you do. What did you learn about World War One?
Well, I learned that living through a 21st century recession is an easy picnic compared to what it would have been like being alive 100 years ago as a young man or woman, or perhaps even an old man or old woman, because you, of course, have to see your loved ones go off and fight, and the chances of them coming back without alive or without injury are pretty remote, you know, even those who came back. They were all, you know, most of them were scarred mentally in some form or other because of the hideous things that they saw.
And what do you think Alan Appleby Drew, your great-great uncle who fought in the war, what would he make of a book like this?
I often wonder, because when I went out to his grave, I had to write something in a book beside his name. They ask you to write sort of little remarks in a sort of visitor's book. And all I could think of was to thank him for his hairbrush at the time, which always felt a bit inane to me. So now I have dedicated this book to him, which I hope makes a little more difference.